Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We are doing this show in the corridors of the KL Convention Center because we are attending the Hasanah Forum and the AVPN Conference 2023. We're talking about impact investing, we're talking about social enterprises, we're talking about how we can bring good for society and be financially viable at that. On the set right now with me is my friend, Ravi Raj Salani, the CEO and principal of Sky International Academy. So Ravi, it's been 3 days. We have attended most of the talks, been to the marketplace, the booths and many more, and the side kind of conferences. Can you give me like a top view of how you think these past 3 days have been and whether or not you're impressed or not impressed, for that matter, on the conferences?
Thanks, Ibrahim. Actually, this whole event has been quite a surprise to me. I wasn't expecting to achieve this much in such a short time.
You weren't even initially invited, right?
It was a last-minute thing. I was supposed to be traveling to Sydney during this time, but that trip got cancelled. And then I got an invitation from YH, Hasanah Sana, to attend this conference. And I wasn't sure what to expect, honestly, coming here. Coming out of the pandemic, taking a break from work for a while. What was really interesting for me was that a lot of the approaches that I've been trying to put in place with socioeconomic development through education, through TVET training in the past, are concepts that's very widely spoken of here. I was privileged to have conversations with the likes of even UBS a couple of days ago. We had lunch. And they were talking about impact investing and blended financing and, you know, various different working models that would provide a lot more access and opportunity to marginalized communities, which is an area I think that Malaysia as a whole still has got a lot of need for in terms of how do we make education more affordable for specifically, let's just say, the B40 communities, right? And just through having a lot of discussions with, you know, other guys, other players here, like even there's some industry partners, potential industry partners like Tata Solutions, tech companies who are here today, who are all very geared up to want to look into the idea of talent development in Malaysia to feed industrial needs.
When I spoke to the conference organizers, Yasana Asana and Khazanah National for that matter, They said that the one thing that moved the needle for this conference is that they put the money managers, the capital owners, in the same room with folks like yourselves, like Project Sky, like Sky International Academy and many more. And they are trying to see how they can get the capital that is required to these social enterprises and businesses that bring about impact to society. Do you feel that mashup is important, but more importantly, how has it that nobody has thought about this before? Did you encounter with this kind of thinking before this?
I think the one thing that we've always been trying to figure out is how do we do this from an entrepreneurial way? You know, I think when it comes to impact, when it comes to philanthropy, the largest spectrum of the work in the past has been done through charities, through government grants.
Yeah, with financial viability talk in mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And I think if we took a slightly different approach and we look at it from a more entrepreneurial point of view, there are many means and approaches we can consider to have the revenue be sort of sustainable or to have renewed revenue in order for us to repeat what we're trying to do, right? Speaking of a concept that was discussed by UBS yesterday, Tom Hall, the president of UBS Philanthropy, was talking about income shared agreement as a concept, which is allows you to sort of reduce the investment by a significant amount. Instead of going with a $10 million investment, you can come down to a $3 million investment, and that money can sort of be renewed to be used over and over again, so you can impact a larger scale of community. So these are very new practices in the market, very new concepts in the market. Some of these practices are actually already successfully being deployed in countries like West Africa, which to me it's a shocker. Like, we're here in Southeast Asia, and we're supposed to be the boom right now. But there's a lot of these practices that are already being deployed in Africa, which is supposed to be the next boom. So yeah. I think this conference has definitely reminded people that, hey, we don't need to be doing things the old ways. There's so many more innovative methods, and all the experts are around here. I've been talking to so many people. I've ran out of a whole box of business cards just networking with people here. Yeah. And I personally think that they've got to do this more often and perhaps even bring this sort of conferences to the subject. If you look at Malaysia and where the classes of the poorer communities are, a lot of that sits in Borneo, in Sabah today. I was just talking to one of the vice presidents of Yayasan Hasanah yesterday, and I said, wouldn't it be nice to have this conference come back to Malaysia down the road, but perhaps have it in Borneo, you know, where people from the philanthropy network can kind of see exactly what's actually going on at ground level, you know. We can sit here and we can dialogue all day about what's going on ground, but it's nothing like coming and seeing it for themselves.
You've been doing this for quite a bit. You've been doing this for quite a bit. You've been doing this for years now, decades actually. You know, when you were doing this, because we knew each other for like 20 years now.
That's right.
I couldn't get my head around social enterprises, bring about social impact, even then. And even today, I am still, you know, trying to learn about this area of concern and how and what my role is into bringing this whole conversation more to light. Maybe you can share with us in terms of the evolution of how impact work is being done through society over the past two decades. And is there an improvement, so to speak, when it comes to bringing about social enterprise to the ground?
Yeah. You know, Ibrahim, if you would allow me to, I would like to revisit a conversation we once had when we were in uni.
Okay.
I believe we were at
That's like in the 18th century, dude.
In the 18th century. and we were, you know, we used to spend hours till, you know, the middle of the night debating about how do we better society. And I know it was a pretty heavy subject for us at that age, but I think that's probably what got us connected back then. From then until now, I can see how there's been a lot of change, actually. Being in this space, working with a lot of other like-minded people, especially the younger generation, I am very inspired. I mean, back then, it was we were sort of waiting for that day. You know, when are we going to have this sort of change makers come to play? When are we going to see the Avengers of Malaysia sort of surface? But right here in this conference, I've reconnected with so many of them, and I'm excited to be back in the scene. You know, I can't help but to be really like a five-year-old that's just waiting to see what we're going to do in the next 10 years here in Malaysia, and then support the region as a regional hub. Mm. Talking about social impact, I started off a project in Marble Island back in 2014, where we basically set up a vocational learning center in the middle of a village. The challenge that we saw at that time was that you had a lot of industry development, a lot of resorts for scuba diving, recreational activities, but a lot of the local youth were not able to access these jobs because they lacked certain skills, you know, the soft skills, the vocational skills to work in these resorts. And it wasn't something that was planned. You know, I was just basically bumming around the island one day, scuba diving, taking a break from business, and got to know the local community, and one of the very bold kids one day just asked me, he's like, hey, Encik Ravi, kalau Encik Ravi ada sekolah di Kuala Lumpur, kenapa tak nak buka sekolah di sini untuk kita? And when he had asked that question, I was like,
you're stumped.
How do you say no to
no,
that?
No, you can't.
How do you say no to that? And yesterday,
I don't even know where Marble Island is.
Oh, so Marble Island is off the district of Sampurna, which it's about 10 to 12 hours of travel from here.
Yeah.
I used to go to the island every month after we started the school.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, taking a car from here to the airport, flying out into Tawau. Tawau, we got to go on a road trip, which is a pretty bumpy road through the estates into Sampurna. Then we get on a one-hour boat onto the island. By the time you get in there, you are pretty knackered, right?
Yeah,
and it's really remote, but it's beautiful. I kept going back there not just because of the work, but also I just found the people to be very, they're just full of heart, right? And truth is, what I've learned is, sometimes we try so hard here, it's so easy to work with some of these communities because all they're looking for is the opportunity.
Yeah. Give them a shot, basically.
Just give them a shot. Just give them a shot and you will see them fly.
Okay. Now, one of the biggest conversations that we, when we talk about social enterprises and social impact is on funding.
Yeah.
Continuous funding, not one-off, not like a grant kind of basis, but a funding just like a business, like a cash flow situation. And as far as I've known you, it's always been the topic of conversation. How do you get funds? Previously, it was through corporates, you know, the banks, you know, the big guys, the GLCs and the likes.
Yeah.
Has that been the issue moving forward? Do you feel that, you know, private equity money managers, venture capitalists or startup founders, whatever, do you feel that they need to be taking more in an active participation here in this world?
Yep, certainly. I think, you know, those were the days when financial institutions were only measuring a single bottom line, which is financial profits, where these days you got to look into other areas like social impact, the environment. As a matter of fact, we are currently restructuring our organization right now to measure a triple bottom line, where we want to measure, of course, financial profits to provide returns to the investors. We want to measure social impact and also how we're keeping the environment intact for the next generation.
Okay.
Now, that's definitely an area of, I would say, quite a hack for us to get into, because I think there are very few organizations that have actually managed to achieve that. And we are still sort of trying to learn from them as well. How do we sort of break into measuring a triple bottom line instead of just a single or double bottom line as a social enterprise?
That is the big problem that I've been speaking to when it comes to capturing a uniformed, auditable measuring system. Dato' Amirul Faisal, MD of Khazana, was talking about Semara as a mechanism. Shahira is talking about social return on investment mechanism. There's no international kind of standard in terms of how to measure this. It's actually quite crucial, because how else are you going to be talking to each other and understanding the impact of what your work is versus my work?
Yep.
It's not the same as, say, for instance, the financial world, the commercial industries, where if I give you a you know, PBT, ROI, ROE, immediately you know what I'm talking about, and immediately it's measurable and trust, because there's a bunch of audit firms out there that is giving me assurance that the way I measure is accurate and depict the true and fair way of accounting. Is this the hindrance then, this triple bottom line measurement that you're looking for in terms of trying to find value to get to the investors?
I think you nailed it right there when you said that. There's no one size formula that fits all. With different enterprises, with different organizations, the kind of impact that they're working on all differs from one to the other. Now, and this is where I go with the approach of, you got to just try what comes in front of you, right? We've tried to sort of test out many different approaches in the past. I was constantly doing experiments on different working models. One of the ways that we were trying to even look at, I mean, it's fairly easy for us to measure our social impact, because essentially what we do is that we train up marginalized communities, we partner up with an industry corporation, we set them for jobs, and so we just basically measure number of students that we train, number of students that we place, and what is the increased household income. It's pretty straightforward for us to measure that.
Okay.
But when I talk to a larger group of change makers or social entrepreneurs out there, a lot of them are doing a lot more complex stuff, which you know, I mean, we had it simple. We chose a very simplified approach.
You're measuring outcome, not impact.
We're measuring the outcome, but the impact, I think, on the longer term of things is something that we can't measure that, you know, within 3 months or 6 months.
And that's another problem that you have to overcome. Because financial year, it's a calendar date, 12 months, you're done.
Correct, yeah.
But what you do is generational impact.
That's right.
It takes years, even one generation.
So that's where, I guess, impact investing becomes a favorable subject, because they're there to stay. Whereas if you're going to work with grants and CSR, sometimes it can be very periodical, right? Mm. You may work with one organization today, this year, and the next year you'll be moving on to another organization and another organization. Now, that doesn't allow for one investor to come in and play that long-term partnership where you can then measure impact over 3 years, 5 years, 10 years even, right?
You were talking about you measuring it in a straightforward way. I'm not saying a simplistic way, straightforward way.
Yeah.
But the folks that you engage with post event, is that they're creating much more complex items. Talk about that. Like what more impact or complex way are they delivering value?
Yeah. So like even for example, if let's just talk about say the gig economy, right? Where you have a lot of there were a lot of training programs in the last decade or so training up younger generation to enter the gig economy where. You're provided with the skill sets and the tools to go out there and build a livelihood for yourself. But it's kind of like no man's land, but every man's land after that. It's like if you compare it versus training someone for employment, which is so much easier because you can work very closely with the human resource department and you sort of keep in touch with your alumni to understand where that growth is. Mm. The moment someone takes a leap into entrepreneurship, which starts from the gig economy, sometimes it's pretty hard to follow through in terms of getting that data from them after that. We've had students who left employment and went into entrepreneurship, and even we sometimes have a tough time trying to sort of locate them. I've had one student that we located who ended up in China. I mean, this is a kid from this remote village in Mabul Island who finished studying with us, worked in a resort for a couple of years, and all of a sudden, he disappeared, and 2 years later, we found out that he had moved to China, and he's sending tourists from China back to Mabul Island. He became an entrepreneur.
And it's a waste not being able to capture that.
Exactly.
It's a shame.
It's a shame, but the, you know, at that space, it's a lot of work on the team that's doing the monitoring and evaluation, because those guys, the moment you give them wings to fly, they're going to fly everywhere, which is what we want to see.
That's the point.
You know, that's what we want to see. We want to sort of give them what they need to do, sort of take off on their own, you know, build their own livelihood, have their families, continue to pass it forward.
But corporates have the finance department that does the capturing, monitoring and planning.
Yeah.
But social impact makers like yourselves,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you have a finance department, but how do you empower the capturing of this kind of data and impact? Is there have you given a thought on that?
I think we've been able to sort of monitor probably slightly more than 85% of all our beneficiaries.
That's a lot, right?
But there's still about 15% of them whom it's pretty tough for us to get all that data from them these days. And especially after the pandemic, a lot of people were displaced, you know. Those who were working in resorts, in the hospitality industry, had left. Some of them had gone into different vocations, took up different jobs. Some went back to fishing in the village even. And that was interesting because I asked one of my students on the phone during the pandemic, what do you think, you know, now that you have gone and worked in a resort and now you're also giving it a shot back at fishing, which is what your dad probably thought you were going to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, sir, the beauty about going back to fishing is that I make my life. I'm not dependent on anyone and for an income.
The entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah. I go out and he says, before I go out to fish, I say a prayer. I head out on the boat with my dad. What we catch is what we eat and we share it with the family around us. The harder we work, the better the returns are. And so when I heard that, I was like, damn, that is so profound, right? But at the same time, it's not sustainable. And that's why we sort of got started with the program. The fishermen community in Malaysia, not just in Malaysia, throughout Southeast Asia, probably sit at the bottom of the pyramid where the income bracket is. I'm quite familiar with this stream because my father used to work with the Fisheries Department of Malaysia. So from young, I was pretty exposed to the plight of fishing communities around. And, you know, whilst fisheries is still a huge potential in Malaysia, I think what we wanted to do is to give the youth an alternative Yeah. You know, and I think.
But you did give this individual an alternative, and he wants to go to that kind of, he opted that kind of life.
Yeah.
I guess no harm done.
No harm done. Yeah, you know, and
you make your own way. It's a clean, healthy living, not sustainable, but yeah. You know, after all, this is what we do. We give them tools, and they decide.
Yeah, and that I guess also came as a mode of survival during the pandemic.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, resorts were shut. There was no tourism going on. So a lot of staff were let off.
Yeah.
From their jobs.
When you talk to these investors here at the Hasanah Forum, what are the things that they're looking out for when it comes to them thinking on investing?
I think I used to think that they had pretty high demands in terms of what impact was supposed to look like, and.
Oh, it turns out the barrier's lower.
And in the last few days, actually, and which is why I took a lot of time before to learn up, you know, the reporting templates and how do you measure social impact. And I'm not even educated in that space, but, you know, we had to learn it because of what we do. But in conversations with the YH team, the Yayasan Hasanah team here over the last few days, I quote Shahira in her speech yesterday, which I absolutely love what she said, which is, leadership should start with a yes. And it just dawned upon me, say, wow, Ravi, all the while you were thinking that you had to have all your bullets in place before you want to start on making the life.
But that is a good prep, I guess, to a good skill to have.
Yeah.
You don't want to get you know, caught in not being prepared.
Yeah. But you see, so for guys like us who you know who come from the capital, we are privileged enough to have education. We're exposed. We travel. We have a lot of support around us to learn up these sort of practices. But what about the communities out there, you know? I mean, they're the best leaders in the future for their communities. And if we want to start connecting resources to them, for them to start, say, applying for funding and grants so that they can begin their own grassroots development programs, how would they learn these practices? And that's where I think some of the gaps are that needs to be looked into, is how do we simplify the processes for the communities out there who are not exposed and not educated.
So leadership starts with a yes, as per Yayasan Hasanah's Shahira. The requirements of fund managers are not as high as initially, or not as stringent as initially thought of. Do you find these kind of, I guess, items promising and optimistic for you to, you know, brave forward?
Certainly. I think I've been overthinking a lot of the processes in the past as well. You know, especially if you talk to a lot of the more mature organizations in impact investing or in amongst the foundations, I think they truly understand that it takes a lot of time and resources to get formulas right. There's a lot of trial and error that happens in the beginning. And I think that's where speaking to the guys who've been in the game longer will actually be a smoother process for one to get started in this journey.
I'm a skeptic, and I've mentioned this on this show many times. I feel that money managers will only spend if there is a financial incentive for them, even though their heart wants to do the right thing. If there is no financial impetus for them to do so, they won't do it.
Yeah.
That's just on the money managers. On the philanthropic arms of all these organizations and family offices and corporates, if there's no incentives like tax breaks or any of that sort, it's very hard for them to deploy cash because they're restricted. They are managers of their own organization. It's not their own money after all. They need to find an excuse or a reason for them to deploy those kind of funds. Hence, the government having to step in and provide more financial incentives. Do you feel that that is the case that we need to make right now for the government and the local authorities and the tax bodies to actually appreciate what folks that have capital want to do? They want to do good, so more tax incentives there.
Yeah, I think I fully agree with you on that. I think that's where the government's role is, especially when it comes to matters of advocacy and policy. Mm. One thing that comes as a piece of good news to everyone in this space is that was when Bursa, or the Securities Commission, put a mandatory requirement for all listed companies to provide their ESG report, their sustainability report. And this now applies a higher level of pressure, I guess, on these corporations to really put their CSR budgets to the right places, because they now have to really get down to measuring what they're doing in terms of sustainability. And I think this has just opened a huge avenue of financing, even to a lot of social enterprises, academic institutions, the non-profits at ground level. So the pot has just gotten bigger, actually, in terms of resources.
So if people learn more and get connected with you and with Sky International Academy, how do they go about it?
Well, you could drop me an email. It's at raviraj@sky.edu.my. That's R-A-V-I-R-A-J at sky.edu.my.
Fantastic. That's a good way to connect with the good folks at Sky International Academy. That was Raviraj Saldani, the CEO and principal of Sky International Academy. We bring you a lot of these conversations here at the doorstep of the Hasana Forum and AVPN Conference. I've interviewed the Yes and Hasana boss, Datuk Syairah Bazari. I've also spoken to the MD or the Managing Director of Khazanah Nasional Berhad, Datuk Amirul Faisal, where we talk about Dana Impact, the impact investing fund of Khazanah Nasional. And with Syairah, I spoke with to her on measuring, capturing value and how they can collaborate further with folks, perhaps even yourself that's currently watching this conversation, in terms of how you can bring your own value to this solution of how we can bring impact to society. So there's a lot of these conversations that are happening right now. Just head off to astrawani.com, find out more information there. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.